Welcome to The Drop, the official podcast of the 130th Airlift Wing. I am Staff Sergeant Alancia Grant. On this episode of the podcast, we talk about events for the upcoming drill, what the 130th has been doing over the past couple months, and discuss about readiness. We have with us the Wing Commander, Colonel Switzer, and Wing Chief, Chief King. We are also joined with a special guest who dives into applying readiness from a deployment perspective and as a traditional guardsman.
Sergeant Grant, it's great to be back on the drop with the break that we had with no July UTA as we swing into August UTA. And before we start talking about all the preparations and the priorities and everything that we have going on this weekend, just a couple of announcements for everybody that's listening out there. First, we want to pass on congratulations to Major Jeff Mann. He was selected as the new AMXS commander. Jeff just finished his time as the MAW flight commander. He's going to do great work as the AMXS commander. We also want to say farewell and welcome back to the ops group, Colonel Redman. So he finished his time as AMXS commander, and he's back over in operations as the deputy group commander. There'll be a ceremony for that change of command or assumption of command and maintenance at a later date. Secondly, another welcome is really a welcome home for our AES personnel that were deployed on their last rotation in support of Operation Epic Fury. So they got back some time ago, but this is going to be the first drill weekend. They're all back together in the squadron. And the ops group and the AES have a ceremony and a welcome celebration for them planned on Saturday at 1300 up in operations. So if you see any of those airmen, be sure to give them a pat on the back for a job well done. They absolutely crushed the deployment over there. Lots of changes, lots of challenges, and they just handled it with the professionalism and expertise that we expect of all our airmen. And then just a shout out to everybody in the wing this month. You know, we always talk about how busy we are, and the summer is no exception. July was an extremely busy month. We supported Century Storm 2026, which is a headquarters-led exercise that includes not just the 130th, but the 167th, as well as some other units, sister service organizations. That all took place in and around West Virginia with a focus down at Camp Branch. And it was really something to see. A lot of great training and a lot of great cooperation amongst the planners and great leadership from the top all the way down that really made that thing a great event. At the same time, we're supporting the National Scout Jamboree and continue to do that as we're recording this podcast. And so we've got airmen in southern West Virginia, both on the grounds at the summit and then down at the Glengeen Armory as part of the Joint Task Force. And the air is really representing well. And it's, again, it's a great opportunity for us to work with our sister wing up at Martinsburg in the 167th. Chief and I had a chance to go down there and visit with everybody, and they're just doing great work. And then we also had, unfortunately, a lot of significant flooding in and around the 21st of July. And the Guard did what the Guard always does, is we were ready and we were there, responded immediately. We still have airmen and soldiers from the West Virginia National Guard out there in the field helping communities recover and just providing that support and presence that aids our fellow West Virginians and make sure that we get them back to where they need to be so they can go on about their lives. And then we've got a handful of events scheduled this weekend, so I'll turn it over to the Chief to talk about those.
Yeah, thank you, Colonel. Appreciate it. Probably a couple of things going on this weekend. We'll start with a couple of promotions that we're going to do. Chief Dusty Redman's going to get promoted this weekend. Very happy for him. He's a long unit member and very deserving of the rank of Chief. So we'll be recognizing him Saturday at 1500. And then at Security Forces, we have Shannon Bowling, who's going to be promoted to Chief. Another member that's been in this unit for a long time and very deserving. I can't wait to recognize him Sunday at 1500. And then we're going to continue with the fitness event for Saturday at 1530 that we host. We didn't have one in June because of Family Day, but we're going to pick that back up this drill. And then the last thing I like to highlight is the waist height measurement that we have to do. So Air Force mandated that all National Guard members complete this waist height measurement ratio. So that's going to be an important thing that we knock out this weekend so we can meet that deadline. The waist height measurement is just one part that we have to do for the physical fitness testing to come up in September, but it also kind of leads into readiness, which, you know, readiness, I think, is going to be the majority of our talking points for this podcast.
Yeah, Chief, that's a great point. Really, to include fitness, but beyond that, our focus this weekend and every weekend is always on readiness. Specifically this weekend, what we're going to get after is finalizing the planning and preparation for our September flyaway. So we've talked about this a couple of times on the podcast. Now it's getting really close. We're going to get a final update from the planning team, and really hats off to them because they've done a phenomenal job of putting together a great plan that's really unit-based. It includes planning all the way down to the lowest level that it allows airmen and units to get after readiness objectives. It's going to push our airmen to do some things that they haven't seen before. And we're going to give people opportunities to lead in ways that they're not accustomed to. But that's what we need to do in order to maintain a high level of readiness and be prepared for anything that gets thrown our way. So that's the focus this weekend is again, just on readiness.
So Colonel Switzer, with that in mind, what does that actually look like in practice for our wing?
Well, that's a great question, Allie. Kind of touched on it a little bit, but fortunately, since we have a wing full of outstanding airmen, rather than share with our audience what my thoughts are on that, we've brought on a guest this time around, Colonel Christopher Croson, who's our mission support group commander. You know, he's new to the wing, but he's not new to the West Virginia Air National Guard. He came to us via Martinsburg and then headquarters. And he also just completed a recent deployment overseas. And I think he's probably got some really good insight on, you know, what does it mean to be ready and what are we doing at the wing and in particular at the unit level. So I'll turn it over to Colonel Croson here to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, boss. And really, the concept of readiness has changed or evolved in recent years. So the character of war has changed, as we've seen. And that means that we have to train differently. So for most of our careers, we've been on the, if you're in a support function, you were in the rear with the gear, for the most part. There were a few exceptions. But other than our pilots and air crews going to the front, most of the support functions were fairly safe in the rear. Well, now there is no rear. With the advent of ballistic missiles and drones, there really is no rear guard anymore. Everyone is on the front. So we have to change our mindset about what readiness means. So some of the things that we're doing in MSG, beyond getting good in our AFSC, which is also important, it is a top priority. But beyond that, we need to get ready for the next fight, which is going to mean base defense training, some tactical radio communications, TCCC, to get into some of those specifics. If you look at where the fight might be going in the Pacific in future years, our airmen are going to be operating on some small forward operating air bases where there may not be enough defenders to defend against a ground attack. So we need all of our airmen to be able to step up and know what to do in those situations. So we're going to actually, on a quarterly basis, have our security forces squadron start training the rest of MSG, and we're going to open this up to the other groups in the air wing as well, start training them on some very basic base defense techniques. It's not going to turn them into full-blown defenders, but it's going to get them ahead of the curve so that we know how to respond if a ground invasion were to happen or a ground attack on one of our FOBs were to happen. The other thing that I've seen in recent deployment is tactical radio communications, some basic radio communications. One of the things that our adversaries are going to take out first is the ability to communicate. And radios are a great way to get around that. But if you don't know how to use radio, that renders the equipment useless. So we're going to have our communication squadron, again, on a quarterly basis, doing some very basic tactical radio communications training, teaching people how to program a radio, how to properly use a radio, and we're going to incorporate that into some of our exercises, including the upcoming September exercise. And then the last thing that we really want to emphasize is TCCC. We've seen in the recent Operation Epic Fury, there are a lot of casualties, and that is unfortunately going to be the name of the game moving forward. And you cannot always count on the qualified medic being there. Every single one of our airmen need to become proficient in TCCC. I know that if something happened to me, I would want the airman next to me to be very proficient in TCCC. So I owe it to them to be proficient in TCCC as well, to take care of my fellow airmen. And then what we're hoping to do is wrap this training up in a field training exercise next September with MSG, where we're going to emphasize a couple other readiness and combat readiness points like flush plans, convoy ops, and accountability. It is imperative with all the movements that we're doing, whether it's a ACE movement or flushing a base for personnel and critical equipment, it is imperative that we maintain accountability over those assets.
Yeah, so there's a couple great points there I want to highlight. The first is the shift, not just with what we're doing, but why we're doing it. So I think that Colonel Croson brings great emphasis to the why. You know, if I was an airman out there listening right now, or if I was, you know, finding out this weekend that they were wanting me to learn how to be a defender or a medic or what have you, I'd start scratching my head and say, well, why is that? And so I appreciate that insight there, Chris, on why we're doing that, because the nature of our warfare is evolving and we can't wait to catch up for that. We have to be proactive in that regard. The other thing that I think you highlight there is that means there's more to do, right? And we, as traditional guardsmen, we often say, oh my, you know, I have all this stuff to do when I come in. And that's a thing that Chief and I talk about. And so I would kick that next question over to you, Chief, is like, how are we going to balance that? Like, how does the individual airman balance, you know, the increased tactical, technical requirements that Colonel Croson just talked about while being a traditional guardsman?
So, Chief, actually, if you don't mind explaining it to me, because I am only a traditional. I'm not here Monday through Friday. So when it comes to drill, it's like, oh my gosh, there's such a huge list of things that need to happen. How do I balance it? Like, what advice would you give me?
I think it's a great question, and being a DSG is hard because you do have probably three different jobs, really. You have the job you have to do here when you show up on the weekend, but you're still part of a family at home, and you still have your civilian life. So the best advice that I usually give is be in the moment. When you're here, take advantage of the time that you're here to learn your AFSC and do the training that you need to do. But when you're at home, be that family member. Be the mom, be the dad, be the spouse. And then when you're just a civilian job, concentrate on that. Be in the moment. So I think just being present in the moment and understanding what you need to be doing in the moment is very important.
Chief, I'd also add that communication with those various parties is critical. Communication with family, communication with your civilian employer. I've been a DSG most of my career for 25 years. And keeping those members informed of your military commitments is absolutely imperative. That way there are no surprises. We know that we can be called up at a moment's notice, and you have to communicate that to your family, to your employer, to make sure that they understand. It's really a show of respect to them to do that, and it keeps good relations in that that three-legged stool that you're talking about with that supports you, family, civilian job, and military.
Yeah, Colonel, I totally agree. That's 100% you're accurate on that, and it's constant communication. Like, we struggle a lot with communication. But it's important to keep going back to it and communicating a lot. And it's a really good point.
So knowing that that is probably one of the more critical pieces to it, it seems like something that is becoming more highlighted in today's society is our mental and physical readiness as well. How is it something like that I can use to tie that in to be actually operational with the 130th?
So the mental, emotional, and physical resilience has become ever important. And I saw this firsthand last year when I was deployed in the Middle East. My base wasn't actually one of the bases that got attacked, but we had the threat there constantly. And I saw the toll that it took on our airmen. So that mental and emotional resilience is critically important. Understanding what we're getting into, and we need to train. We need to stress our airmen so that we get a little taste of that pressure while we're here, so that we can handle it overseas. And then the physical fitness. You know, we're not doing physical training just to look good. There is a operational reality to our physical fitness training. If you've ever spent a week in combat gear and 120-degree heat, you'll understand really quickly how important it is to be physically fit, to be able to handle that pressure and that strain and keep the body fresh to carry out the mission.
Yeah, Colonel, I would add to that too. It's not a secondary task, the mental, physical aspects of the job. It's just as important as being good at your job. Because kind of like you said, the three-legged stool, you have to have three parts of that. You have to be good at your job, be mentally and physically prepared to go. And it's all important. And it's not a secondary task. So it's, you know, something that we got to strive for, and it takes a lot of work. But, I mean, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I think both of you are bringing great points. And one of the things that we've talked about in conversations, Chief, that I think you mentioned just a little bit earlier, was not just being in the moment, but also taking advantage of the moment, right? Like, we do talk about the fact that for DSG, it's 2 8-hour periods. But I think we all can look at ourselves and say, am I taking full advantage of that? Every single moment, every single nugget I can get out of a drill weekend to make sure that I increase my own individual readiness, that I'm increasing the readiness of the unit to which I'm assigned, and that has an overall positive impact on the readiness of the wing. And so, and every single element of, and we talk about comprehensive airman fitness because it is the cornerstone of how we prepare our airmen and how we prepare ourselves. And so every single part of that is important. And it starts with, like what Colonel Croson said, the AFSC training, and then layering on those additional trainings that are going to make us more capable in a high-end fight, in a remote fight, in contested, degraded, operationally limited environments that we all know are coming our way. And so just the continual focus on those mental, physical, and emotional aspects of our game in terms of readiness are vitally important.
So with everyone that's listening, what are some closing remarks that you would like to really highlight for those that are part of the 130th or those that are helping fellow airmen continue to be ready?
Well, if you've been in a staff meeting with me or you've listened to me at a commander's call, you've probably heard me tell the story about my first deployment in 2003. And I felt like I was a pretty sharp lieutenant at the time. And I know for a lot of you listening, that's a long time ago. Some of you probably weren't even alive in 2003. But, you know, just picture, you know, a pretty brash, bold individual walking out the door for the first time. And quite frankly, I felt like I wasn't ready. And so my takeaway for everybody is that you have to take advantage of the time you have, and we have to implore supervisors to make sure that they're taking advantage of the time they have with our airmen on drill weekend to do the little things, to cross the T's and dot the I's, to take care of things that we may look at as administrivia or things that we don't really want to pay attention to. But there, all those little tasks that we can get knocked out free up an airman's mind and the space so that they can just improve upon themselves. You can't just flip the switch the day of. That we're not in an environment where that works. We get called out regularly, whether it's state active duty for flood response or an exercise or a deployment, a short notice deployment, or your deployment changes. And so we have to do everything we can to continue to build our airmen. It's a continuous cycle. And then I think the chief highlighted, and so did Colonel Croson, that requires consistent and open communication. So we have to have conversations with each other about where we stand with our readiness, where the unit is, what are the expectations for our people when they get ready to go out the door, so that that is clearly communicated to every single individual in this wing. So the last thing I would say is that this is a unit and individual responsibility. If I hearken back to the 2003 version of myself, I surely can point out some times where I failed to prepare myself individually. I can't put that all on my supervisors or my trainers. And so that's what I would charge every airman is look inward, look at your requirements, you know, take charge of your individual readiness and do everything you need to do to get yourself ready. Because we all own a piece of this, right? It's not just the command or the chief or the supervisor. It's every individual airman. And I know we do that month in and month out and day in and day out. And lastly, I would just say I'm grateful for that, for everything that everybody does to make sure that we're all ready to go.
All right, Colonel Switzer, Colonel Croson, Chief King, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you.
For more information on the 130th Airlift Wing, you can find us on the web at www.130aw.ang.af.mil. And you can find us on all major social media platforms.